Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Last week was an extraordinary week of broadcasts. One of the broadcasts involved something that quite literally took my breath away. It was as though I saw the finger of God in the studio. I got a call, the first time I got a call like this in over 5 years, about whether or not someone should adopt a frozen embryo. And it just so happened that a 9-year-old girl was sitting in the studio with me. She was adopted as a frozen embryo. And she now is a drop-dead, gorgeous, wonderful Christian young girl. And I saw the finger of God in not only the timing of the question and the fact that she was sitting in the studio with me, just happened to be visiting with her parents, but I saw the finger of God once again as I thought about the fact that we are debating in the land whether or not a zygote or an embryo has personhood. Well, I can go through all of the arguments to demonstrate that a zygote has all of the criteria necessary to establish biological fact, or life as biological fact, and not only that, but this was a body-soul unity. But now no longer did I need the argument, because I was looking at the representation of the image of God. And the reason I bring this up, and quite frankly, as much as 2 minutes ago, I didn't even think about bringing this up. It just came to mind as the show opened. I thought, what an incredible parallel to something that I want to do at the beginning of this broadcast. I want to talk about design and purpose in living things. If you've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast for any period of time, you're familiar with metamorphoses, the beauty and the design of butterflies. Throughout history, butterflies have fascinating, they fascinated all of us in many ways, because they're so unlike the caterpillar that they came from. And metamorphosis is a beautiful illustration of what will happen to us when we are transformed during resurrection. Are these butterflies just products of blind, undirected processes? Kind of like, was the zygote or the embryo just a blob of cells or a fertilized human egg? And then there's another DVD that I'm sure you've heard me talk about. It's called Flight, the Genius of Birds, in which you get a closer look at a bird's complex design. It's a powerful tool and addresses head-on why evolution is false. And all this month, a resource that is perhaps, it's hard to rate these films, quite frankly. They're all genius. But a new film, Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth, again, recognizing that more than 70% of the Earth is covered by water, and this is a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. extraordinary clues to the mystery of life. They shine like stars throughout a liquid or a water universe. And so if you don't have these resources, you can get all three of them for a suggested gift of $100 or more, or Living Waters for your gift this month to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Now, if you don't have Living Waters, get that first. You may even want to think of getting all three of them, but these are things that you can watch with your family and be reinvigorated in terms of your witness to a lost and searching world. This will give you the ability to have answers. You might even want to watch them with unbelieving friends, but certainly watch them with your family. They're available. Again, you can check them out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Well, we have a treat in store for us. Before we go to our calls today, and we'll be doing that later on in the broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial. But before we do that, we're going to talk to Ladd Allen. He is the co-founder of Illustria Media. This is a motion picture production company based in Southern California. Ladd has produced, he has written, he's directed more than 100 films, received numerous international awards, but in my view, great will be his reward in heaven. These films have helped to popularize the scientific case for intelligent design in the universe, and Ladd joins me on the broadcast. Good to have you back with us.
Hank, it's great to be back. Always enjoy it.
Sometimes I think that it is going to be impossible for you to do something else that is as stunning as Metamorphosis, Flight, Privileged Planet, and the list goes on, but you hit the nail on the head with this one.
Well, we swung the hammer for a long time to hit it. I'm glad to hear we did. I think it was a very long, demanding film and exciting to work on, but extremely challenging. And I think when it was all through, we were all involved on it. It was a tremendous collaborative effort. We all felt like God had led us well and taken us to where we hoped to get with it.
Talk about your vision for ministry. I mean, what you're doing through Illustria Media is transformational. How did you come upon this passion, this vision for ministry?
Well, I've always had an interest in science, and I spent many years working with Moody Institute of Science, making films for them. And then in 1997, Jerry Harnett and I and Jim Adams started Illustria Media. And at the time, we wanted to extend some of the work we had done in Moody and take it to a different level, a level that would continue to reach out to people who were skeptical about Christianity and about faith because they felt that science had proven that there was no God. And about this time when we started, maybe a year or two earlier, I'd come in contact with Steve Meyer and the work that was going on at the Discovery Institute, and I was just convinced that this case for intelligent design that they were developing, it wasn't a religious case, it wasn't based on religious arguments, it was based purely on contemporary cutting-edge science that was pointing, you know, just, I felt irrefutably to a supernatural creator, and I saw the materials they were developing, the arguments they were developing, Michael Behe, Bill Dembski, Steve Meyer, so many really sharp people that were working on this. I thought, this is the way for Christians to take their faith into a skeptical world and to confidently defend their faith in a world where really scientific establishment has fully embraced the idea of Darwinian evolution and blind, undirected processes, and schools have, and I raised four boys, all educated in public schools, and we had great talks over the years and prepared them to go out into the world and really defend their faith, and that's what I want to continue to do.
What was cool about this particular video, movie, motion picture, whatever you want to call it. It's available on DVD, but I watched it with some kids along with my wife, and was fascinated by their fascination, the fact that this kept their attention throughout. In other words, they never stopped looking at the screen. They never stopped watching. It wasn't like, let me get up and do something else. This is boring. They were riveted.
Well, that's wonderful, and that's exactly what we hope to accomplish. I think a great motivator in all of this is, you know, any night of the week you can turn on television and you can see something by the BBC or National Geographic that is just beautifully produced, nature films, wildlife films, beautifully produced and very compelling visually and entertaining. And yet the vast majority of these films are just grounded in scientific materialism and Darwinian evolution. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, I'd like to do something as technically and as aesthetically pleasing as what the BBC and National Geographic is doing, but instead of extolling the virtues of Darwin, to present evidence for intelligent design. And so we started on this last series, Flight, Metamorphosis, and Now Living Waters. We had this vision of a three-part set 5 years ago, and we've been working nonstop for 5 years, and this is, you know, Living Waters was completed in June, and it was thrilling to actually have seen the dream of doing this come to life.
You've hit on some kind of a magical formula, if you will, inspired by the Lord, no doubt. But what I like about these films so much is that they really don't preach at you. In other words, you allow the dolphins, the sea turtles, the salmon, the humpback whales to do the preaching for you, so that when you're done watching, you've not only heard some commentary, which is poignant, albeit sometimes brief. When you're done, you get it. It just becomes self-evident to you. So you've kind of found a formula here.
The formula is Romans 1, right? 19 and 20. God has revealed himself to man through the things he's made. And every day we're out in the field filming, you know, we're thinking, one of God's great revelations to humanity is his creation. I mean, you go out into the world and you look at the complexity and the spectacular engineering involved in these animals, be it butterflies or eagles or dolphins or whales or any number of them that we've been documenting the last 3 years. And you consistently see what Paul wrote about in Romans 1, that God reveals himself to man through the things he's made. In Job, we read, you know, Job says, ask the beasts, and they shall tell you, and the birds of the air will proclaim unto you. And God uses his creation to reveal himself. So we try to capture glimpses of this on camera. We could never do it any full justice, but to show it and reveal it in ways maybe you haven't seen before. We use a lot of very elaborate computer animation to illustrate how these biological systems like echolocation or a salmon sense of smell or, you know, butterfly metamorphosis or how hummingbirds fly. We use animations that haven't been attempted before in many cases to really illustrate what God's made.
Ladd Allen, he is the co-founder of Illustria Media. It's a motion picture production company based in Southern California. Ladd and his team have produced something that is stunning and transformational. Flight, Metamorphosis, Living Waters, you can find them on the web, available for your gift. In fact, as a package for a suggested donation of $100 or more, or Living Waters, I mean, that's the featured DVD all this month. You can find it on the web, available for your gift. Equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Ladd, we deeply appreciate you, your work, and look forward to continued interviews all this month.
Thank you so much, Hank, and you've done just an unbelievable job of helping to get this message out. We make these films so Christians can take them out into the world as tools to reach a skeptical world. And you have just, for more than a decade, you've just done such a wonderful job of helping to get the word out about them. We can never thank you enough. It's a pleasure to be involved with your work.
Well, thank you so much. And again, thank you for your work. You are constantly in our thoughts and prayers. The Flight Living Waters, you can find it on the web at equip.org. You just simply do not want to miss it. It is transformational. Going to be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Whatever you want to ask, just call the number, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
For millions of people today, science has become the sole authoritative arbiter of truth. Yet the problem is generally not the facts of science, but the theoretical presuppositions that relentlessly distort the interpretation of those facts. One source that clears up interpretive distortions of the scientific facts about Earth's underwater realm is Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. This DVD demonstrates how underwater life, including dolphins, whales, and sea turtles, reflects the highest level of purpose and design. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back to answer more questions. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide? Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. A dolphin's echolocation system, or biosonar, permits it to detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think this ability arose from blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the dolphin's biosonar and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Marge. Randy, before we go to our calls, I want to mention that I'm going to be speaking at the 20th Anniversary Apologetics Conference. That's taking place in South Valley Community Church in Gilroy, California, about 30 miles south of San Jose. I'll be there on August 16th. That's this weekend, on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. I'm going to be talking about Muslims, what you must know. I think this will be informative, but it will be, in the end, another example of how you can become so familiar with truth that when a gross error looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. Be aware of the fact that Muslims now comprise the fastest growing religion on the face of the planet. Again, Muslims, what you must know. All of that taking place on Sunday at the 20th Anniversary Apologetics Conference. Also, if you have not yet joined the CRI support team, invite you to do that. In appreciation of your support, you'll receive a personalized copy of one of my books to you, a family member or friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, that's equip.org/donate. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up today, Sandy, listening in Phoenix, Arizona on NRB television. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Hank. My question is about the tribulation saints, and I apologize, I don't have the scripture, that they will rule and reign with Christ for the millennium, the 1,000 years. But the pre-trib people say that we will come back after the 7 years, and we're the saints that will rule and reign. And I know there's a lot of pastors who believe the pre-trib, which I did, but then I started listening to Irving Baxter, and he really nixes that idea. So now I'm so confused. Do you have the answer?
Well, I don't agree with either of the two opinions that you referenced. I think what's going on here is very, very beautiful and glorious. The passage you're talking about is in Revelation 6. It's verse 9. It's a famous passage that says that when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony that they had maintained. So here you have a great tribulation that is taking place. Remember, Revelation is seven letters written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And the basic message is that if you're faithful, you're going to suffer for a short time, but your vindication is going to become eternal. So you will eternally be vindicated if you maintain the word of God, if you maintain the testimony of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus and the apostles had testified, Jerusalem was the murderer of the prophets. You see this in places like Matthew chapter 23 or Luke chapter 13. And you all see see a connection with the Old Testament, where you have the blood of Abel crying out from the ground near the altar, which is an indication that in this passage you have judgment upon Jerusalem. Because like Cain, the older brother, the old covenant envied and murdered their righteous younger brothers of the new covenant. And so the blood of the righteous is crying out for vindication. But the picture, once again, is poignant and profound. The souls of those who had been slain, they continue to live in the presence of God. And so the picture that is being painted does not have anything to do specifically with a 21st century tribulation. By application, it most certainly does. But it has to do with what is happening in the great tribulation prophesied by Jesus Christ. And of course, the language that Jesus Christ used is the language of the Old Testament prophets. And Jesus takes that language and applies it to what is going to happen when Jerusalem and the temple, the epicenter of the faith, the identity of even the believers wrapped up, and they're encouraged, don't look to the Jerusalem below. She's in apostasy. Look to the Jerusalem that is above. She is free, and she is our mother. So what's going on in Revelation chapter 6 is profound in that even the language that comes after the famous verse that you referenced, you have a sixth seal that is open, not just the fifth, but a sixth. And then there's a great earthquake. The sun turns black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turns blood red. The stars in the sky fall to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. And the sky recedes like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island is removed from its place. Now, when you hear those opening words, if you're a student of the Bible or have read through the Bible, you say, wow, where have I heard that before? Well, quite obviously in the Olivet Discourse, but you've heard it throughout the Old Testament. So the language of sun, moon, and stars is judgment language, quite self-evidently language that is used, for example, when the Medes and the Persians come and put out the glories of the Babylonian kingdom. Same language is used. And as I mentioned, the same language is used with Jesus with respect to Jerusalem. Now, John, in his expanded Olivet Discourse, is doing the same thing. He's using this language with respect to the destruction of of Jerusalem and the temple. So all of this has to do not with 21st century tribulation, but what is happening at that time when you have an embryonic church and you have a beast that is warring against the Lamb? And of course, by application, Jesus makes clear that in this world we're going to have tribulation. Take heart. As Jesus said, I've overcome the world. So the message is an eternal message. It's an enduring message. We're going to suffer for a short time. We're going to suffer persecution for a little while, but in the end, there'll be eternal vindication.
Well, I'm still, we will rule and reign with Christ for the 1,000 years.
Well, the Bible does not use 1,000 years as a literal period of time that follows the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rather, the Bible uses the 1,000 years in a metaphorical sense. Again, the Bible is replete with examples of 1,000 being used in a metaphorical sense. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It doesn't mean that he doesn't own the cattle on 1,001 hills. It simply means that God owns everything, or God's loving kindness is everlasting, is also something that is imbued with the whole notion of 1,000. So if you go through the scriptures, you see all kinds of examples of 1,000. So it's very strange that an event as dynamic and significant as a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth when Jerusalem is nowhere else specified in the text would be in mind here. So the idea that Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem with rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices is very popular, but when did Jesus ever speak about that, and where do you find that in the text? You simply don't. My dad died in 1997 as a believer, very committed to the Lord. Imagine that now he's going to have to come back to a semi-golden age with reinstituted temple sacrifices, and then the greatest apostasy in the history of humanity taking place under the watch of Jesus Christ. That would be a horrible thought for my dad when he died. He was looking forward to the time that Jesus appears a second time, when his soul would return to his body, something yet future, and he would be resurrected into a time where there is no more travail of tears. And of course, if you read the Bible, the reconstitution, as it were, of this universe and our resurrection goes hand in hand. So the notion that we're going to come back to a thousand-year millennial kingdom, I don't think you find any evidence for that in the Scriptures.
Well, will the church go through Armageddon, the 7 years?
Well,
the believers, are we going to be here if we're alive when all this occurs?
Well, you don't find tribulation anywhere in the Bible in terms of 7 years, except what you find under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, the Old Testament Antichrist, and what you find in the New Testament, where Jesus points back to that event and prophesies the great tribulation that will take place when Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed. But you don't find anywhere, as I mentioned, in the teachings of Jesus Christ, the notion of a thousand-year semi-golden age. And as I alluded to, Paul points out that the liberation of creation goes hand in hand with the redemption of our bodies. So the notion that our bodies are redeemed at a rapture, that the earth is liberated from its bodies of decay 1,007 years later, is just without any biblical precedent. At the second coming, the bride of Christ, the church universal, is complete. No one else can be saved. So while the notion that 21st century Christians are destined for 7 years of bliss and Jews for a Holocaust of unparalleled proportions is very, very popular in current Christianity, it's simply not good Bible. I don't find any evidence for it whatsoever in the Scripture. By the way, when Jesus spoke of the resurrection of the dead while he was alive, he did not so much as hint at such a notion. Instead, he said, "Do not be amazed. A time is coming," and here's the operative word, "when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be eternally condemned." And when Jesus, by the way, spoke with Martha concerning the resurrection of her brother, he reaffirmed that Lazarus would be resurrected on the last day, not prior to a thousand-year semi-golden age. So nothing in Scripture suggests that those who have fallen asleep in Christ are going to return to a fallen earth. I've written about this in various places, including The Apocalypse Code. You can find the book on the web at equip.org. These are issues that we want to look at carefully because they have to do with the art and science of biblical interpretation. The meaning of the millennium, the timing of the tribulation, while we can debate, I think it's important if you want to understand or rightly interpret Scripture to get this straight.
The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a new film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide? Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recently, Time magazine noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that, quote, "change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America," end quote. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Other topics include putting race in biblical perspective, two views on human origins, how Christianity led to the rise of modern science, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The likelihood of the astonishing intelligence manifested in nature arising from blind chance is simply preposterous. Did you know that a sea turtle possesses a biological system that allows it to navigate thousands of miles using Earth's magnetic field? Learn more about how sea turtle navigation and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the new film by Illustra Media. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm going to stay in the studio today for an extra hour once we go off the air. So if I don't get you in this segment, I am going to be here for an extra hour. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. You can start dialing that number now because I'm going to continue on, as I said, for an extra hour, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sabrina in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, listening on CJCA. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi there. So my question is, is this. I don't know a lot about scripture. I guess you could call me a new Christian.
Uh-huh.
But I listen to you every chance I get because I really want to understand. And my question's around what you were talking previously about regarding homosexuality. And I grew up in the 60s when, you know, homosexuality was unacceptable and my dad would say mean things about them and they were made fun of, etc. And then when I was in my early 20s, I read an article about, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. I didn't know anything about homosexuality until I was in my early 20s. I didn't really know what it meant. And now I have kids of my own, and they're teenagers and, you know, in their early to mid-20s. And my daughters have some friends who are gay, and they're very accepting, and they're really good friends. And I guess my question is, I don't know how to feel about this, because, like, when my oldest son was young, he was so uncomfortable around homosexuality. He just couldn't get past it. And I thought it was doing right by saying, you know, you have to be tolerant of, you know, people and, you know, how they, what their belief system is, et cetera. But now I'm just wondering if that was the right thing to do and how to talk to my daughters, if there's anything I can do to, I don't know, make it right.
Yeah. Well, I think we should just model the behavior of our Lord towards all who are lost. When we're speaking the truth, we have to speak the truth and speak the truth in love. So what we as Christians must do is recapture the zeal of our Lord for all who are lost, for all who are sick in our society, which means when people are involved in sins that are detrimental to their lives and to the lives of those around them in civilization, you should be available to them. You should be equipped to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. The prescriptions that you find in Scripture against same-sex sexuality, places like Romans chapter 1 or 1 Corinthians chapter 6 or 1 Timothy chapter 1, they come from the creation order of Genesis as well as prohibitions throughout the Scripture. And the New Testament contends that even Gentiles without access to direct revelation, in other words, to Scripture, they have enough evidence in the natural realm to discover God's aversion to all kinds of sexual sin, including homosexual behavior. So the Bible's very, very emphatic, and I think in that sense we have to say God has spoken, and we must be clear with respect to what God has said. And equipped to communicate the truth of Scripture with gentleness, with respect, not mocking or making fun of, but rather being tolerant in the right sense. Tolerance when it comes to truth, of course, is a travesty, but tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is always a virtue. So if need be, we need an attitude adjustment. We have to commit ourselves to becoming salt and light and do that with a great deal of meekness and with a great deal of love. The God hates fags mentality that you were referring to is conducive to repelling as opposed to reaching a culture that is steeped in sin and confusion. So we can preach the right things, but in the wrong ways, either too aggressively or too meekly. And when either conviction or compassion is being compromised, then we know that we need personal revision in terms of how we're dealing with those that we are trying to reach. But we must never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness, because if we do, then we hurt people. The illustration I like to use is if I have cancer and you're a cancer specialist, perhaps maybe the premier cancer specialist on the earth, and we're both good friends, and you have the wherewithal to help me, by telling me the truth about what process I should go through in terms of getting treatment for my disease. And you say, ah, don't worry about it, you're fine. You're not showing love to me. You're actually showing a form of hate to me. And so we should care for those who are lost. We shouldn't single out one perversion over another. But we should be equipped, always ready to give an answer. And the answer is very clear. It's unequivocal. God puts parameters around our lives so that our joy might be complete. He's not a cosmic killjoy. He simply wants our joy to be complete. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to recognize that that the human body is not designed for same-sex relationships.
Okay, yeah, that's a good context to put it in terms of all sexual perversions. It's just another one. I guess no other one has gotten so much play, like positive play. Like everybody still has a problem with, you know, pedophiles and, you know, certain other things. But homosexuality is just so wonderful. And they have, you know, gay pride, et cetera. And I guess for me personally, I always kind of thought, well, to me, it doesn't matter what you do in your bedroom, that's your business. But when now they're just so open about it, that's when I start to get a little bit squeamish or squirmy, because I think it's quite personal. And, you know, to parade, I guess that in and of itself is a little bit of a perversion.
Yeah, I think that the issues are always the issues. I mean, pagans are going to exercise their job description, and the question now becomes, are Christians exercising theirs? If we're salt and light, then we can transform a culture by the transformation of hearts that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You think about the fact that there are 22 million evangelicals in America, maybe even more, but that's certainly a figure that's bandied about in terms of realism. The homosexual community is much smaller than that. But they have affected the culture because they have been zealous for their point of view. And so now, because of what they've done through the media, with films and with sitcoms and with airbrushed images, people have come to think that this is a good and very wholesome lifestyle, and that it's good for the rearing of children, and it's good for civilization in general. The next shoe to drop will no doubt be plural marriage or polyamory or even pedophilia. Who's to say that the age of consent has to be 18? What makes that the magic number? That threshold may eventually fall. Who's to say that it should be just two people, a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a woman? Who's to say that's the magic number? Once the boundaries and the thresholds are broken, Pandora's box can produce just about anything. So we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the storm. You don't build a lighthouse by being unkind, uncharitable, unloving, refusing to reach out to the very people that you should be reaching out to. Instead, again, what we need to do is we need to be friends with those that have different perspectives than we do. We need to eat with them. We need to speak and act out of love rather than hate. We need to communicate the good news about God's rule, and of course, throw a great big party when you see repentance. So again, the real issue is not what the homosexual community is doing. The real issue, from my perspective, is what the church is not doing. The church is either capitulating or not caring. And to really care, you need to know what you believe and why you believe and be able to communicate that with gentleness and with respect. And by the way, not just scripture passages. I mean, the sociological metrics are pretty clear. a child needs a father and a mother. There's no covering that up with clever rhetoric and cliche. I mean, that's just a plain old sociological metric that anyone that takes a look at the sociology knows about. So if you really care about women, you care about children, then you act accordingly.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. That helps a lot.
You got it. My pleasure. Again, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, do be patient. I'll get to you. If you're dialing in, remember you can dial for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll be taking your calls. That number, you might want to jot it down, 888-275-4265. Again, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Be taking your calls for an extra hour once we sign off in just a few moments. A quick reminder, once again, I'm going to be in California this weekend, South Valley Community Church, about 30 miles south of San Jose, going to be talking about Muslims, What You Must Know, in the 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock service. You can find out more detail on the web at equip.org. And do remember, living water, waters, it's the intelligent design in the oceans of the earth, a worthy sequel to Metamorphosis in Flight, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. Also, when you go to the web, take a look at the Christian Research Journal. If you have not yet subscribed, you can do so in a safe, secure fashion online. Also, the newsletter. It's free of charge. Check it out at equip.org or simply talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Continue taking your calls because life and truth really do matter. 888-ASK-HANK.
Thank you for joining us today. The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film in Alestra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank would like to send you Living Waters on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.